All right, I'm going to get started here real quick. Hello, we're going to get started. Wrap it up. Thank you. What? Wrap it up? Yeah. No, not yet. Yeah, typically we have a song that kind of gets us going so people hear the music. A little bit different today. So anyway, thank you. And I also just want to say to the Young Life kids, it's tough to get up on stage. So I applaud you for that. Yeah. It's honestly something you can put on your resume someday. And I'm serious, you know, you stand up in front of a crowd, it's always not the easiest thing to do. So I'm always encouraged when I see it. And speaking of encouraging, kids really can encourage you sometimes. Is I know not everybody got to participate in the kids camp a couple weeks ago. I know some of you could also, and also in various ways. But I just want to say, as one of the elders of the church, I can't tell you how blessed I was just to be with all those kids. We had, I've heard different numbers, but we had 25 or 28 kids. And for a town like Ouray, I mean, that's really almost half of our high school. It's a lot. So I was pleased. Prior to, I was really kind of praying maybe for 10, honestly. But we ended up with 25 minimum, and I think we had up to 28 at one point. So I was certainly blessed. I was the group leader for the third grade through the fifth grade, and I'll tell you, they wore me out. But I was very, very encouraged about it. But I also want to thank the youth that I'm also helped. Those kids who were like in sixth, seventh, and eighth, they were just immensely helpful. And they got a lot out of it as well. And I know all the adults that did it got a lot out of it as well. So I just want to just recognize that. And we'll probably have some kind of what in the military we call after action review to see how it went, to see how we can improve it, because there's always improvements that could be had. But really, in the grand scheme of things, I couldn't have been more blessed, and I'm sure God was pleased with the efforts of the whole crew. But anyway, I'll get on with the sermon here. Is, as you can see, the main slide here is the secret of contentment. My first point that I'm going to get into was going to be my last point, but I switched it this morning because I just thought it was more applicable up front. But sometimes as people hear sermons, they might think, well, that's kind of difficult what you're talking about. So I'm going to start off, what is going to be my last point? There comes a time in everybody's life, there comes a realization. The realization for me was the other points are very, very difficult. Because there are going to be events in your life. There's going to be tragedies in your life. Just because you are part of a fallen world, and we and others are likely going to suffer physical and emotional pain, sometimes severe emotional and physical pain. The severity of that pain can and often does prevent us from being content. Being content with a broken heart, a crushed spirit, living with severe pain is very difficult. However, David instructs us in his psalm that the Lord is close to those brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord knows at times in our life we will be brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. In those times, it is so important to know that the Lord is close, even if we are pushing Him away, and it happens a lot. God will never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of our mental or our physical status. And throughout the Scriptures, the body of Christ, all of us in this room, are commanded to care for those in trouble, those that are sick, and those in pain, physical or emotional. those whom are not content. Again, that was going to be my last point, but thought it more appropriate just to state it up front, that regardless of how content we want to be, how content we can be, there's going to be times in your life where you are in emotional and physical pain. So if an individual is a new believer in Christ, there are many biblical or theological truths that can be very elusive and difficult to follow. Even for a mature Christian, which a lot of us in here are, there are many biblical truths that are difficult to understand and incorporate. Many biblical truths, even when understood and having the greatest desire to follow, teeter on the verge of impossibility. To live a life that emulates that truth, but not impossible, as we know, all things are possible with God. For myself, there are passages that I've read countless times for various reasons. Typically, the biggest reason is just to reassure myself of that part of Scripture. As an example, I've read the second chapter of Romans hundreds of times, literally hundreds of times, and I'm not exaggerating. The second chapter of the book of Romans is titled God's Righteous Judgment. It's a part of Christian theology that I feel can and is easily misinterpreted. And such, I've listened and read several interpretations that differ than how I understand it. This sermon is on a similar circumstance, meaning it's hard for me to completely grasp. It's especially near to my heart. I did a sermon about 2.5 years ago titled Contentment. And per my earlier comments, it's one of those areas of Scripture that I continually circle back to. I need to continue to read about the topic and the applications of contentment to strengthen my resolve and desire for being content in Jesus Christ. True contentment is a concept that I feel, again, is easily and widely misunderstood and certainly not often achieved. Just for starters, the word contentment gets a bad rap within many circles. To use the words of Chuck Swindoll, he says, "Stop and think." A young man with keen mechanical skills is often counseled against being contented to settle for a trade right out of high school. A teacher who is competent, contented, and fulfilled in the classroom is frowned upon if she turned down an offer to become a principal. The owner of a super-duper hamburger on the corner has a packed-out joint every day, but chances are selfish ambition won't let them rest until he opens 10 other joints to get rich, leaving contentment behind. In the business world, the professional worlds, the athletic worlds, contentment with where you are seems to be a negative attribute. Many believe true contentment is a fickle mistress, believing that in its rare appearances, it will just as quickly be gone. In this case, why pursue contentment when it will always and eventually elude you? In that case, you just as well settle for the occasional bouts of happiness and or pleasure. Another common route, more likely taken than most, is the pursuit of contentment at all costs. This pursuit unfortunately leads to a society of individuals being mostly non-content, as human ambition and desires seem to always want more. Overall, the church, the members of Christ's body, have a slightly better handle on contentment. We at least know where pure and true contentment comes from. But we, as sojourners of this fallen world, also are very susceptible to the longings of this world, just as non-believers are. The common ideas outside the church of where contentment comes from are friends, family, good health, careers, romantic partners, drugs, and money. Now, those are all, in some form, fashion, or moment in time, can be part of contented moments in life. But they are all certainly, to some degree or another, they fall into the category of the fickle mistress during the eventual and unavoidable negative circumstances of life that will fall upon everyone. But will anything in the list I just mentioned bring true and complete contentment? So our scripture reading today is from Philippians 4:10-13. So if you would stand in for the reading of God's Word. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any way, in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Oh, please be seated. So I kind of have the secret part highlighted there, so I want to focus a little bit on that here in just a little bit. But after Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, he lived a very difficult life in servitude to Jesus. It was a life, by any worldly standard, would not involve the word contentment. None at all. In Paul's words from the book of 2 Corinthians, years before he penned this scripture reading, he states that he worked harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times he received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. And I just thought it was appropriate, if people are not familiar with what 40 lashes minus one is a common punishment by the Romans during that time was 40 minus one, because 40 was the legal amount that they were allowed to lash somebody. So they just did minus one just to ensure they didn't go over the 40. But if they didn't think a person who's being punished could survive the 39 lashes, they could postpone the punishment for a later date to give him the rest. So the point being that the 40 lashes minus one is not an easy punishment at all. 3 times Paul was beaten by rods. Once he was pelted with stones. 3 times he was shipwrecked, and once spent a night and a day in the open sea. He was constantly on the move, and he writes he was in danger of rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. He labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. He knew hunger and a thirst and had often gone without food, and had been cold and naked, and daily faced the pressure of his concerns for all his churches. Yet, he states, he has found the secret to contentment. The reason this knowledge of Paul's hardships is so critical is that it clarifies to us Christians, when Paul states he has found the secret to contentment, it's not because he is living the posh, wealthy, and privileged lifestyle. It must be from another source. But also, when Paul says he found the secret, by no means is it now a secret. The secret has been revealed to everyone willing to hear it. I believe the secret Paul mentions can be summarized. The goal is here to try to figure out how to summarize this into the sermon, but I think it can be summarized using one verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So, just looking at that, doesn't that seem simple? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It may seem simple from an outside perspective, but on the contrary, it's extremely, extremely difficult, even for the most mature Christian. The first part of that scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart, I want to look at just a few scripture verses to see if we're trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. Forgiving others is a difficult task, especially when the offense is of great proportions. I admit it, it would be very difficult for me to forgive certain people in certain circumstances. But Christ does tell us to do just that. By doing so, our trust is shown and he is honored by it. 2 Corinthians 8:3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Here's another difficult item to show our trust. We live in a society that revolves around material and comforts. Luke 12:48 tells us that to whom much is given, much is required. Generally speaking, we all have been given much. Especially as Christians, we are the beneficiary of grace. We've been given eternal life. Are we in turn given as able and even beyond our ability? This can mean financially, our time, or our talents. Matthew 13:22. The seed fallen among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Are we trusting in God's word and not allowing the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke out God's word? 2 Corinthians 10, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Are we trusting God's word and joyful even amid sorrow? Acts 4:29. Now the Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Do we trust in the Lord and speak boldly regardless of any threats, anger from others, or uncomfortableness? Romans 12:14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do we trust God enough to bless those who persecute us? This is completely opposite our natural human tendencies. Our natural tendency, at least mine, is to despise, not bless those who despise us as Christians or myself. And lastly, probably one of the hardest ones that I'll get to, Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Now Jesus' 12 disciples left their jobs and lands and whatever else necessary to follow Jesus. And in return, they were promised eternal life with Jesus in God's kingdom. In this verse, Jesus expands that to anyone who is willing to die to self and follow him. Now when the rich young ruler asked how he could inherit eternal life, Jesus told him to give up all he had, give it to the poor, and follow him. He could not do it. And he left away sad, because he had too much to lose. Do we trust Jesus with our whole heart enough to die to self, which is another sermon, make him our purpose, and follow him? So the second part of Proverbs 3:5 asks us to not lean on our own understanding. Again, doesn't that part of scripture, verse, seem simple? Just don't lean on your own understanding. But again, it's not. It's extremely difficult. Secularly speaking here, where does our understanding come from? First, we were born into a world without any understanding. Not the world, but ourselves. We were born helpless babies. We received a lot of our understanding from our parents, who arrived in this world just like us with no understanding. We receive a lot of our understanding from the schools we attend, which provide education and secular pursuits, but certainly steer away from any biblical truths. Some of the staunchest opponents of God are certainly in the education field. We get a lot of our understanding from our peers, who are in the same or worse boat as us. We get a lot of our understanding through television, news sources, and the books we read. To wrap that up, it's an assortment of sources where our understanding comes from, and I must add, most of that understanding from those sources are very, very flawed and biased sources. So just by looking at the current world we live in, you can see there are as many versions of understanding as there are people alive on this earth. Throughout each moment in life, we need to make decisions that are based on our understanding of a particular matter. But if that decision is based solely off of our understanding and God's truth doesn't factor in, all that is contrary to this scripture. And there will be some sort of internal conflict affecting your contentment. The scripture verse 3 through 5 of trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your understanding leads us to stop seeking contentment, but seeking Christ and thus receiving contentment. The points of trusting the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your understanding, I concede, are not easy at all. It's likely impossible to do that completely. Regardless, I do believe it's necessary to make that effort. The effort can be found in seeking and seeking Jesus in all things, no matter how good, how bad, or anywhere in between. Have you ever looked for Jesus while you were drinking a glass of water? Thank Him for that glass of water. When you exercise at the gym or at home, thank Him for the health you've been given. While you're driving your car, ask God to deliver you safely to your destination, and then give thanks to Him once He does. When we witness the unrepentant lifestyles of non-believers, do we thank Him for revealing His truth to us and pray that someday He will reveal His truth to the non-believing unrepentant? It's difficult, but look for Jesus regardless of life's tragedies. Thessalonians 4:13, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death or those who have died, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. In the midst of tragedy, rely on your hope and understand it is only by and through Jesus that you have any hope. Share your innermost thoughts with Jesus. He knows them already anyway, so you might as well free yourself of them. Do not rely on your own understanding, rely on God. From a tragedy perspective, as an example, when a child dies, a common thought about God is it's not fair that someone might die at such an early age. From our understanding, that is true, that is tragic, and that is sad. From our perspective and understanding, again, it is sad, because that child will not grow up and have all life's experiences. But from my understanding of who God is, I believe that God, that child, lived a complete life. Before a child is born, God knows exactly, to the second, how long a child will live. Yet God gave them life anyway. He knew those children, or any person, each one of them, from the very foundation of the earth. In these situations, do not lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord and know God is sovereign. Certainly God has the ability to protect any person, any child, or any, but He is omnipotent. But God, for some reason, desired something in the grand scheme of His sovereign purposes was greater than giving someone a longer life than we thought they should have. So yesterday while I was writing this, I was thinking how to see Jesus in the tragic events occurring right now in Hawaii. I'm not going to go into my list that I was able to see, how I saw Jesus. But although, yes, it's a tragic in many ways, I was able to see Jesus in many ways. And I believe that you and I can do that in any situation if we truly put our trust in Jesus Christ. We can be content, not happy, in any situation when we look and see Jesus in it. Discontentment comes when we use our own understanding in things we can't possibly fully understand, which is truly most things. I assume, like me, you're often left scratching your head and thinking, what the heck, when we see the world around us and the shape it's in. But by looking for Jesus in everything, we lose the desire and addiction to be content with ourselves and in our own understanding. And we gain true contentment in Jesus regardless of the situation, just as Paul did. So, just as a quick conclusion, if you are not a Christian, though, do not be content. You need to strive to seek Jesus until the day you die. Jesus, you need to see Jesus as your Savior, and you will never, in my belief, and according to the Scriptures, you will never be truly content until you have received Jesus. If you are a Christian and not completely content through Jesus, which most of us are not, keep the faith. Trust in Jesus. Lean not on your own understanding. Seek out other Christians in time of need. And if you, as a brother and sister in Christ, see other Christians who are not content, who are struggling either physically or emotionally, support them, encourage them, pray with them and pray for them. And as the kids learned in the VBS last week, love them just as Jesus has loved you. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, I ask that, that anything that I spoke of that is not of you may be fallen away. But Lord, everything that is of you, I ask it to be grasped in the hearts of your believers. Again, may we walk out of this church closer to your Son, Jesus Christ, and may we spread that light to those outside that we come in contact with. Amen. All right. You're on, brother.